1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
And a very good day to all of you. Welcome to our very last show of the whatever year it is, our very last show of this year. And this is the Phil Hendry Show. We will be counting down the top news stories of this past year, 1900 and 2001. Yes, we will be counting down these news stories featuring snippets of interviews that we did with a variety of guests over the last year. And one of the interesting aspects of our show is the guests that I interview were actually me doing a voice. Am I insane? Am I crazy? People have asked that question. How can he do it? He must be mentally disturbed. Yes, I'm mentally disturbed. That's why I'm able to raise 4 children and pay a mortgage once a month. What were the top stories this year? Well, in January, the story out of Massachusetts was of that hockey dad, that hockey father who was beaten to death by another hockey dad. We had Bobby Dooley, the president of the Western States Homeowners Association, on to talk about how when she sees her husband fight a coach, say a basketball coach, she has an orgasm. In January, William Harris and Emily Harris and a bunch of SLA scumbags got arrested for the 1975 murder of a woman in a bank. Dean Wheeler, a Northern California activist, was on to say that his wife, Becky Marie, was also arrested for a crime she committed as a young woman, sort of a young and wild young lady. She murdered a nurse and smothered 5 children in an incubator. But let's get to our very first interview. This one we conducted in February with Margaret Gray about the Andrea Yates trial. Margaret Gray, of course, is a syndicated columnist. She was covering the case, and she said she wanted desperately to see the autopsy photos. She thinks she knows who really killed the Yates kids.
Ms. Gray, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I just turned on the radio. I was coming home, and I heard you say that it's not possible for Andrea Yates to have killed her children because no mother would ever kill her own children.
No mother would ever kill her own child, no.
Okay, you know what? Right after you said that, you said you had an abortion. And what exactly is an abortion but killing a child?
No, that's a medical procedure. That's
it
not,
is
no.
Killing a child.
Oh, no, you're wrong.
Any Bible. No,
you're wrong.
No, actually, you know what? You seem to think that because you're a journalist.
You're wrong, Jenny. I'm a journalist. I've been
in
the world. I've been out in the world. I'm not, forgive me, but I'm not holed up somewhere at a church service or a Sunday
social.
Well,
neither am I. You know, as a matter of fact,
you know,
I do not go to church every Sunday.
I'm not looking to go to the barnyard dance or whatever it is that you do. I am out interacting with humanity.
So what you're doing is you're out insulting people who have an opinion other than yours.
How am I insulting you?
Well, because you just said that that you aren't out at a barnyard dance or whatever it is.
Well, what
that
is it that you people do? You people that
you people.
What
you
do you mean?
People being
what do you mean? You
mothers,
people?
Good mothers who stay home and take care of their children.
No,
and not sit in a court room.
No, I don't.
Defending some woman.
No, you people that do the church thing.
I don't go to church. I was just saying that in the Bible it says abortion.
You know, you just said church. You said this. You said church. Almost
no, I said I do not go to church every Sunday. What I said was
if that abortion
is murder,
is
killing.
Well, let me tell you this then, Jenny. If abortion is murder, then I'm a serial murderer. Because I can't count the number of times I've had a vacuum between my legs. And why is that? I'll tell you why. My
because
career is very important.
Because you are selfish and all
a
you care about is
a serial murderer. Did
yeah,
you
exactly.
hear that?
That's exactly what you are. And you know what? You may not
well,
get time for
I'm
it
not.
Now, but you will one day.
Here we go with your church barnyard social stuff again.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. You don't have to go to church to believe in God.
Well, there are all kinds of gods, Jenny. There's, for instance, the God that says it's all right to have an abortion. There's the God...
What God is that?
And are you a Christian, Mr. Hendry?
I'm asking you... Where? What God are you talking about?
How about the God of my marriage, Frank, my husband?
Who you just said you'd kill your son if he told you to.
Of course, because Frank is my Lord and Master. If you look at your Bible, Jenny, it'll tell you in Corinthians, the man is the head of the household.
You know what? You know, maybe
Frank,
like 2,000 years
Frank.
Ago... Yeah, but you know what? Our world has changed so much that the Bible is used like a regulation,
Jenny,
like you would in the military.
Let me explain something to you. A fetus is not a human being. It's like, I don't know, it's like a canned ham. In other words...
If that makes you feel better about what you've done, then that's wonderful. But I will tell you right now that I would... I would never in a million years kill my child because of what my husband said. I would rather kill him.
I wouldn't kill my child either. Only
you just said you would if your husband told you to. Lady, you know what? You are smoking crack or something.
No, I could not kill my child because I don't know how. But
you just said you would if he told you how.
I would say that it would be all right for Frank to do it. I just don't know how to kill.
Okay,
wait
so
a,
if your
what,
husband
what kind
killed your
con-
son, you'd stand behind him?
Of course I would.
You are sick, lady.
Oh,
you know what? If my husband killed my child, I would be standing at the door of the cops saying, look, this man has killed the child that I brought into earth, and you better take him and execute him or do whatever you will, because it'll be a cold day in hell before I ever let some man kill my child.
Ellie Mae Clampett, let's get with the program.
Will you knock it off with the insults,
you know what,
all right?
Flesh?
No, she's sitting here with all of these down-home values. I'm
what is wrong with down home? You know what? If this world had more of my values, we wouldn't be blowing up freaking buildings.
I believe in family values. I believe in the strength of the marriage.
So what you're saying is the strength of the marriage.
So killing your kid because your husband told you to.
He's not even your flesh and blood, that man you married.
You know, I believe in backing my husband up. What about you?
I believe in backing up my husband as long as he doesn't break any moral or ethical laws, and he also happens to be an officer in the United States military, and that would
prove anything he did there. I took an oath, and I swore that I would stand by my husband, and I will tell you right now, if Frank wanted to off Jason, I'd oil and start the chainsaw for him, and I would...
Oh, my God.
Hey, Phil, you know what?
Oh.
I cannot believe that you have this woman on your show.
In other words, I'm out in the world covering a trial of importance for every woman in this country. And what are you doing? You're scrubbing the bacon strips out of your husband's shorts.
You know what? I'm on my way home. You know what I'm doing? You want to know what I'm doing, lady? I'm driving down the road, and I just left school. I educate myself, too. I happen to be in school.
And when are you getting out of the third grade?
You know, you're so freaking funny. Yeah.
I'm in a freaking master's program, lady. I probably have more education than you do.
I beg your pardon. I have my BA in journalism from Pennsylvania University.
Oh, a bachelor's degree?
And when are you getting your dental assistant certificate?
You know what? The lady already said to you, master's program. You're trying now to be a smartass, Margaret. And
how dare you talk to me like that?
Well, how dare you talk to us like we're idiots? I'd oil the chainsaw for him. This woman's in a master's program. You know what a master's program is, don't you?
Yeah, it's something you do every night when you get home.
What's that supposed to mean?
Crazy.
Well, you were talking about that vinyl doll a few minutes ago. That's your master's program.
What did you just say?
Nothing.
You know what, Phil? I love your show, and I think you're a great guy.
Your husband is in the military. Don't think he doesn't look at your child and wish he had a bayonet in its back.
You know what? Let me tell you something about my husband, lady. He protects your right to be on this show every single day with his life.
That's right.
And how dare you say that he would rather have a bayonet on his back and shoot his child? This man is out there fighting and dying for
you, psycho lady. It's ingrained in every soldier. You see a baby, you want to bayonet it. It happened.
Whoa, boy. Listen to the Vietnam-era bullcrap coming out of your mouth. Oh, your My Lai massacre, baby killer crap. Why don't you go out? You know what you ought to do? You ought to join all those wannabes on campus right now that still think it's the 1960s who are burning flags, and they think it's like, hey, man, it's really cool. It's the 60s all over again. We're involved in some colonialist war. We're fighting for the survival of this country.
Why
don't you start thinking about the people? Like, you know, you want to criticize my husband and say things like that, but you know what? He makes squat.
Where is he right now?
And he would die for any one of a fellow American who needed him.
And you're sure he's not between some waitress's legs right now?
Right this very second, he's putting our 20-month-old baby to bed so that I can finish my master's degree and be a better person than some psycho woman who thinks she knows something and would let her husband kill her child.
You think he is.
All right.
No,
she's doing
I know
well.
Where he is, right. lady.
Listen, Jenny, you made some very good points.
Thank you.
Well, she insulted me.
No, you insulted her.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you for your call.
She insulted me by saying...
You talk about baby killing, bayoneting babies? Good God. Are you insane?
Talking ugly about your military country.
I love our military. I support our military.
You showed me you loved our military by insulting my husband.
He's putting the baby to bed between the slices of bread.
You know what, lady?
You know, you're
out
of your freaking mind.
And getting ready to deploy to Afghanistan. I don't know where the hell you get off.
What's deploy?
To go overseas to Afghanistan.
To go over to Afghanistan and try and save our country from these terrorists. What do you think deploy means? Lady, get your head out of your ass and start paying attention to what's going on in our country.
You know, when you think of baby, just think of baby back ribs.
Whatever.
You know what, Phil? Thank you for letting me speak.
You were very, very articulate, Jenny. You spoke very well for most of us.
Thank you for taking the time to speak for me.
Of course we listened to you very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
1-800
baby back ribs.
Up yours, bitch.
Out of sight. And to think, before the show, I said to Craig, take that 8-minute call from Margaret and edit that thing down. Thank God I was overruled. Thank you, Craig, for not editing that. You're listening to the top news stories of the year 2002 on The Phil Hendry Show. That news story, that phone call between Margaret and that listener, reflective of the Andrea Yates story and who actually did kill the Yates children. We'll be back with, we're just getting underway here. We've got 3 solid hours of different snippets from different interviews we did down through the years, down through the last several months on our program. We're going to be back covering the story that I thought was very interesting, the Robert Blake story, and all of the things surrounding that. We'll be right back. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, welcome back to our top news stories of the year 2003. I got to hurry and get into this one, but you will not regret it. As you know, the Robert Blake case was big in the news. In fact, we had Steve Bozell admitting that he liked to pleasure himself to pictures of Bonnie Lee Blakely, and he thought that made him a necrophiliac. But anyway, here is Harvey Wireman, attorney Harvey Wireman, commenting on the Robert Blake case from last, when was this? February. Last February. Hold on, we want to bring Harvey Wireman on the program to talk a little bit about the Robert Blake situation. And Harvey is an attorney law, now retired, but does some pro bono criminal work. And basically just to get an overview of what's going on with the Blake case from a legal perspective. Harvey, thanks for joining the program.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Mr. Wireman, the Robert Blake arrest yesterday also included a bodyguard.
Right, that was the that's what I heard. But he slept at the house, so I think it was natural for people to want him to be to the police to want to speak to him.
No, he lived at the house.
Did he?
Who? No, you said that he lived at the house.
Yes, he did. I you're talking about who?
I'm talking about Robert Blake.
Yes, he lived at his house. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I'm talking about the bodyguard.
Oh, the bodyguard lived at the house, yes, and was in a room when Mr. Blake came home. So the police obviously want to talk to him.
But he was arrested for what?
No, he was not arrested. The police simply want to talk to him because he was watching television when Mr. Blake came back and went down the side of the house. But you saying that Robert Blake lived at his own house, I think, betrays a certain lack of information about this. So
I didn't say that, Mr. Wireman. I said that Robert Blake, his bodyguard, lived at the house.
And I am repeating, yes. You said he was arrested.
I saw a man who I assume was the bodyguard being let off in cuffs.
No, are you an attorney?
No, I'm not.
Then would you allow me?
Go ahead.
The man that was let off in cuffs was Robert Blake.
No. There was a guy on the street who was being let off in cuffs.
Robert Blake.
That was Robert Blake?
Yes.
They had this guy in a prone position.
Yes, and they were cuffing him.
Yeah.
That was Blake.
Well, why did I hear that a bodyguard got arrested?
Well, they didn't arrest any, but the man who was living on the property, who, when Mr. Blake came home that night, he was watching TV. He heard a bump on the wall, so they want to talk to him. As far as I know, that's why when they found the bloody glove, because they heard a bump on the wall, so they went around and looked for it.
When they talked to Robert Blake's bodyguard, he was sitting in a house and he heard a bump on the wall?
Yes. Where you been? It's been all over the news.
And then they found a bloody glove.
Right, but the problem is, they'd had an argument. she went to the end of the boat, and then apparently she fell in.
Who?
Natalie Wood.
I'm talking about Robert Blake.
So am I. What seems to be the problem here?
What's Natalie Wood going to the end of the boat got to do with this?
I'm explaining to you, as an attorney, the steps by which the police put the evidence together.
In the Robert Blake shooting?
In the Natalie Wood drowning.
I didn't ask you about the Natalie Wood...
Whoa. I didn't live 79 years to be yelled at. Do you understand?
I didn't ask you at...
Lower your voice.
I didn't ask you about the Natalie Wood drowning.
Then what are you asking me about?
Robert Blake allegedly shooting his wife.
Yes. He took a cab to the or a limousine to the airport. Then he came home and went to sleep. And his wife shot him.
His wife didn't shoot him. He shot her.
Well, that's a good trick. He goes to sleep and she shoots him, and then he wakes up and he shoots her? How'd that happen? You know, Mr. Hickory, again, all of the things that...
Whose wife shot him?
You're talking about Phil Hartman. I'm telling you...
I'm not talking about Phil Hartman. I'm not...
Oh, no. You're talking about Shatner, right?
Not Shatner. I'm talking about Robert Blake.
Well, they didn't find him in the bottom of a pool. They found William Shatner's wife.
Yes, I know that.
Good. Then why do you keep bringing up Blake?
Because I don't want to talk about Shatner's wife. And I don't want to talk about Natalie Wood falling off the end of a boat. And I don't care if Phil... Well, I do care that Phil Hartman was killed. But don't tell me that his wife shot him and then he woke up and shot her.
I didn't say that. You did. You said Robert Blake got shot in the head by his own wife and then shot her. How the hell is that going to happen?
It can't happen because I ain't asking about that.
All right. You're asking me about Robert Blake.
Yeah, I know. Why don't you tell me how he OD'd on some pills after he had sex with Robert Kennedy?
Have you seen the case file? Because that's...
Yeah, is that in that?
Yeah, well, yes, that happens to be a speculation that she had sex with Robert Kennedy.
Who? Marilyn Monroe, right?
Yeah. You know something, Phil?
Look at Harvey.
You know, just shut up for a minute and let me say something, Phil, because I've known you for a lot of years.
Harvey, I'm not...
Just will you allow an old man to say something?
Go ahead.
I've noticed that you, on the weekend, you hit the ball a long way with that Don Julio Blanco. And
this isn't about me drinking, okay?
No, just would you allow an old man to say his piece?
Go ahead.
One of the greatest Latin singers of her time... get shot in a motel room, and you can't seem to put two and two together in this deal.
You talking about the great Latin singer Robert Blake?
Are you stupid? I'm talking about Selena. And the fact that when someone put that eight ball up her rear end, everybody...
Harvey,
why do you interrupt me?
I asked you...
Why do you interrupt me? I'm 79 years old. Don't you think that I've earned a little respect? The fact that a man's own father would kill him.
Robert Blake or...
Marvin Gaye. Robert Blake. You asked me about William Shatner and you keep going with Robert Blake. Now, like I told you, they found Marilyn Monroe in the bottom of the pool. And when they finally pulled her out, Phil Hartman's wife shot her. Don't you understand any of these things?
Did Phil Hartman's wife shoot her after Marvin Gaye's father shot him?
Marvin Gaye's father did shoot him, yeah.
Shot?
Marvin Gaye.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say Robert Blake.
Do I look stupid, too? Do I look as dumb as you?
So let me get this straight. Robert Blake was found in the bottom of a pool after he shot his wife, who had shot him.
Right.
And then he went to Texas and shoved an eight ball up Selena's ass and shot her.
Exactly.
And Marvin Gaye helped out in any of this?
No, he drowned Natalie Wood.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he shoved Natalie Wood off the back of a boat. Oh, well, Harvey, thank you very much for your legal opinion.
Thank you very much. But what you need to do, Phil, is shut up. Apparently, when they found her head was in the steering wheel, by the way.
Who?
Jane Mansfield.
You're right. There's no better comment on the Robert Blake case than what you just heard there. From our top stories of the year 2002, we'll be back with more on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I just had a sharp pain in my chest. I think I'm having a heart attack. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry. Welcome back to our radio show. I got my producer and my associate producer in there turning white. I'm fine. I have a dislocated rib. I do. And I've had cortisone shots there on occasion, and I said the pain in my chest thing just to see the looks in your faces, and it did. It scared you. Craig didn't care, but the rest of you guys did. All right. We are back. Welcome back to our review of the top stories of the year 2002. The top news stories as only the Phil Hendry Show could do them. And I really mean this when I say, for instance, the Robert Blake story and how Harvey Weierman and I talked about that. Was there a better piece of commentary on the Robert Blake case? I dare any show in America, I don't care whose, Limbaugh, whoever you want to mention, I dare any of them to come up with a better take on the entire Robert Blake case than confusing it with Natalie Wood's drowning, Marvin Gaye's shooting, William Shatner's wife dying, and all that other stuff. Because that's about what it is to me. And that's about what it is to everybody. All right. Enough of the self-congratulation, because I'm going to be doing quite a bit of that over the next couple of hours. You know, in May, some real piece of work by the name of Luke Helder, do you remember this kid? He was a kid planting pipe bombs, and a couple of them went off. I believe some people were injured. Now, the idea in this kid's mind was to plant the pipe bombs in such a way so that if you looked at pins on a map, it would spell out or draw out a happy face. Bud Dickman, who I have since fired from this radio show, came on to give us his theory on pipe bomber Luke Helder. This is from last May. So the bombs they found, I thought I saw this on a map, right, Bud?
Yeah, it was on the news.
When they found the original bombs, they were all in a circle.
Right, and then you connect the dots, then it make a face.
All right, so the eyes were where?
Well, the eyes were like in Iowa, Nebraska, and Indiana. I guess that would mean he had three eyes, though, didn't it? All right. Well,
no, it doesn't. It means they were on the border of Iowa, and I think it was Nebraska or one of those things.
Yeah, Nebraska. What a tard.
And just do the thing that you want to do here with connecting the dots.
So then I looked at the map, and I noticed that the smiley face started going down, and it was on its way to Oklahoma. That's the smile part.
Okay, so the eyes are in Nebraska and Iowa and Indiana. No, he didn't have three eyes. It's three states, but...
Well, so the boat of two eyes.
Yes. Then the smile was going down from what to what?
It was going from left to right, and it was going to go south and then up again, the way a smile go.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
Well, that would have meant that if it went down, it would have gone into Texas, Oklahoma.
Yeah, but wait a second. What if it had buck teeth?
I don't understand.
Don't understand. I mean, I think I'm making it very clear. What if it had buck teeth?
What if what had? The smiley face that this Helder kid was trying to make with the bombs?
Yeah. In other words, you connect the dots. What if he had buck teeth?
What if the smiley face had buck teeth?
Yeah. Goodbye, Dallas. Goodbye, Fort Worth. There's a lot of towns, in other words, that would have been affected had it had a buck teeth. And that's the... what I'm sending this as a wire story to AP.
What are you going to send...
But, look, just for once, Phil, will you back me up with something? Just one time, back me up with something.
Okay, I'll back you up. You want to send a wire story to the AP, Associated Press, saying what?
That if Luke Helder, the pipe bomber, had been successful, the smiley face would be the smile of the bombs would go across Oklahoma, northern Texas, up in Louisiana, and if it had buck teeth, it would have wiped out Fort Worth and Dallas.
They're going to laugh and throw it out, man.
Why?
What do you mean if the smiley face had buck teeth? In other words, then the teeth come down.
The teeth go down, and goodbye, Dallas and Houston.
Okay, what if it had a goatee?
That's what I'm talking about. Then Houston be gone, and if it had pimples.
Goodbye, Austin.
Right. If the pimples were down around the chin. If you get a zit on your nose, though, then.
Missouri.
Right. Now, if it was wearing a hat.
Then Canada would be messed up.
Right, see?
Bud, please listen to me. I know you've wanted to get into news for a long time.
Right. And I think this is a very original story, something we can, that they'll grab a hold of, and maybe I can get the second page, maybe a column.
You're not going to get a second page out of this. It's not a news story.
First of all, let's just...
Why not a news story? They know he make a face.
They knew that the kid was making a happy face. What you're doing is you're theorizing. You're saying, well, let's say it wasn't just a happy face. Let's say he was wearing a hat?
Yeah. Yes. Now, Phil, here's something else that we need to talk about.
What?
What if the ears... What if he had ears?
Okay, what if he had ears?
Okay, what if he had ears, but what if he was a Vulcan? Then they would have been pointy, and
then it would have wiped out, I guess, Minneapolis and Milwaukee, huh?
No, maybe Milwaukee and maybe Helena, Montana. What do you mean, Minneapolis? What kind of ear is that?
You know something, Duke?
You know, you laugh at me, but I'm going to be the one I get a Pulitzer Prize.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
You know what I think it is? I think it's just the fact that I'm upwardly mobile with a career.
But I'm trying to save you years of heartache. Years of heartache. Years. You go into a guy and say that Luke Heldercat, he was making a happy face.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, here's what would have happened to America had he put a hat on him and given him Vulcan ears.
You know, you're just jealous.
I'm not jealous. I don't want to see you embarrassed.
Oh, so it's not possible you can put a Vulcan ear on him.
Well, you know, the guy looks goofy enough. I don't know if he put a Vulcan ear on him.
What about a bow tie? What about it?
What about a bow tie?
Do you know how many people would die had the happy face, a bow tie, Vulcan ears, pimples, and a goatee?
So this is going to be your story that you're filing with AP.
That's right.
Do you know how many people would have died had Luke Helder made a happy face with pimples, a goatee, a bow tie, and Vulcan ears?
And a hat.
And a hat. Good luck, man.
Yeah, you're jealous.
Well, there you go. That was a discussion I had with Bud Dickman, who's been fired from this radio show. You'll be happy to hear about Luke Helder and had he not just made a happy face, but a face with Vulcan ears, a hat, and you heard the whole thing. All right, well, that moves us out of the month of May. Actually, doesn't move us out of the month of May. It keeps us in the month of May as we count down the top news stories of the year 2002. We're not really counting anything down. We're just going month by month. We're in the month of May. Now, what have we seen so far? Well, Luke Helder has been the pipe bomber out there. Where is that kid? Is he in a nut house somewhere now? He's probably just wrapped up tighter than, you know, they got him in a rubber room. Robert Blake, of course, was arrested back in the month of April. Back in March, Halle Berry, we didn't mention, she had won the Academy Award. Pastor Rennick was on our program and made the comment that the only reason why a young black woman won an Academy Award is because she was willing to show her breasts on screen. And, of course, the Olympic skating scandal and other things. Also, from last year, in the month of May, a horrible video of the Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl and the execution of Daniel Pearl was making its rounds on the Internet. A Corona, California construction contractor by the name of Stephen Bozell came on our program to tell us that he understood why the Pearl family wouldn't want it released, but he had some strange reasons.
Sir, I understand that you were embarrassed on national television, but just let me say that is nothing compared to a human being shown on TV getting mutilated because he is a target of... Right. Basically a terrorist act. Okay?
That's,
you're comparing your embarrassment...
That's true, Rebecca.
You're comparing your embarrassment of being humiliated on a funny TV show to a guy that was killed on videotape and
okay.
is showing it on the news.
Okay,
hello.
But, okay, how would you
Ma'am,
like
you
it?
You got off easy.
Ma'am, how would you like it? You're a woman, and I'm sure you would not like it at all. How would you like it, ma'am? If you fell down and you lost your bowel and your everything, your poo come through, and it's on a TV movie, on a TV screen?
It's on a TV screen for a matter of a second, maybe. And
how long
what?
Is... How
People
long...
that watch that show aren't going to remember it, sir. They're going to remember this.
Ma'am, I can tell you right now, I'm not saying it's the same as what happened to the Pearl family.
It's definitely not the same.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I got to tell you, I'm wearing white cotton pants... I take a line drive shot off the testicles, which is a very sensitive part of a man's body. Then I fall down, and my wife zooms in so she can see the poo going through the pants. You gotta be nuts to think that that's some kind of a block party or a joyride.
I don't think it's a block party, but sir, you're comparing your situation to a human being
right.
killed on videotape. How can you actually call a show and compare yourself being hit in your private area to a guy that was killed
okay,
on videotape?
Okay, now here's what I'm saying. The Daniel Pearl tape, that was just a couple of seconds, okay?
No, what, sir, that was more than a couple of seconds.
My video was 3 minutes. I rolled around in my own pooey, or the poo, or what my daughter calls on the poo area.
Your pooey.
Well, I'm trying to say, I don't want to say nothing that my daughter will be upset about. Hey, ma'am?
Yes.
Rebecca, I listen to a lot of talk radio shows, and many times the host will say, please turn your radio down, so I don't know if that's what you want me to say, Mr. Hendry.
No, I'll do it. Turn your radio down, Rebecca.
Yeah, it's down.
If you'd have said that, if the host had said it to you, though, instead of me?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, you're making fun of me because my wife zoomed in on my butt, and I'm doing your job for you.
Oh, well, let me send you a couple of bucks. What are you, nuts?
You're crazy.
Well, what's up with you, lady? How would you feel if you got hit
you
so hard?
You told your story about 100 times, sir. And guess what? The story doesn't change. It's the same thing. But let me tell you this. You're nuts because you're comparing your situation to a gentleman that was killed, and I'm sorry.
I have more sympathy
for that family than I will ever have for you getting hit in your private area.
No, it's not just that, though. Then my own wife zoomed in on butt squirt.
Well, I think your wife did a pretty good job if she got that close.
Absolutely.
How would you feel if you got hit so hard in your nana that it made your monthly visit start early?
Oh, well, please.
You know what? If you're playing softball on a field, you should know better.
Yeah, you're looking at birds. You said you turned around to see the ice cream truck.
I've seen the ice cream truck pull in because I wanted to get a 50-50.
And if you're looking at birds playing baseball, sir, why are you looking at birds anyway? You're supposed to be looking for a softball.
Okay, I was looking. I was playing.
And you're playing shortstop, which is where if anybody's going to get a line drive off the nana.
There's a line drive through there. Hello?
I beg your pardon? No. Okay, yeah, you're right about that, and I don't disagree. But I wanted to get a 50-50 because I knew that the ice cream truck was coming through, and I just turned around, and I was kind of going, yeah, here it comes. That's when the man hit me in the na-na. See what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
All right, forget it.
The
guy's a mental case, okay?
You have a lot of guts to be calling a radio show and comparing your embarrassment to a gentleman that was killed on videotape.
Even though the poo come through.
You are not going to be remembered for that.
Ma'am, you are nuts.
You're nuts.
How would you feel if you got hit so hard in
the head? It's the same story. Man,
you're
telling the same story
like
over and over and over and over.
Who cares, okay?
Nobody cares about me.
No one's going to care about
you. Nobody cares about you because, sir, you're still walking around living.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
Nobody
good point.
Nobody cares that you did that. You're still walking around living. That gentleman's family is going to have to live with this for the rest of your life. And you know what? The whole United States will remember that guy being killed on videotape. Nobody will remember you being hit with a ball.
Well, I can only tell you this much. I hope just for one day you grow a pair of balls and somebody's line drives one off of them, just so you know what's
like. If that happens, I don't know.
Whatever. Okay, Rebecca.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever.
Bastard.
Steve Bozell from May of this year, commenting on the Daniel Pearl case. This is the Phil Hendry Show. These are the top stories of the 2002 year, just concluding, as only the Phil Hendry Show is able to do them. Coming up, we're going to take a look at Chandra Levy's situation, and we will hear from Bobby Dooley, president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, on the Elizabeth Smart kidnapping. Coming up on the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Extremism. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
It's funny what we talk about off the air, and I will let you in on this, as we count down the top news stories of the year 2002, as we roll out, I think is a better term for it. My associate producer, Chris Pelton, is theorizing that in about 20 years, Britney Spears will have an 8-ball pushed up her ass, and she'll die. Now, moving along, Jesus, Pelton. Let's go to this story. This was obviously a big story, and it started in the summer months. It was hot on the heels, by the way, of poor Chandra Levy's remains were finally found. And during that show, I remember Margaret Gray coming on and saying that it was possible that Chandra Levy was not killed so much as perhaps she had fallen asleep under a tree and a falling pine cone had fractured her skull and killed her. So maybe she wasn't killed at all. But in the month of June, things turned even more serious with the kidnapping of Elizabeth Smart from her home in Utah. Bobby Dooley, president of the Western States Homeowners Association, was on to talk about her and her husband Steve's idea of attempting mock kidnappings at Western Estates to see how safe the kids are.
Mr. and Mrs. Daly or Dooley?
Our name is Dooley.
Dooley, okay. You say you have certain security measures at your place? Well, you know, I have a special security precaution at my place. It's made by Smith & Wesson. And if your husband would have been standing over my wife in the middle of the night with a stocking on his head, not only would he be having a very bad day right now, he would be dead right now.
Jason, this
is my right to defend myself, my wife, my children, my property.
Not if we sent you a memo.
You can take that memo and burn it because it doesn't mean jack to me.
If you get a memo in your mailbox 15 days in advance.
Well, I tell you what, you know,
do you live in a gated
community? You can send out memos to whoever you want.
Jason, have you ever heard of Elizabeth
Smart?
People
are crazy as hell.
Have you heard of Elizabeth Smart?
Yes, I've heard of Elizabeth Smart. And you know what?
Mm-hmm,
my cousin was abducted 5 years ago. They never found her. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So that's why we're doing what we're doing, Jason. And I would think you'd
be one
of the first people to endorse us coming into your home while you're asleep, taking your child for only 5 minutes, and then bringing him back minus a piece of his pajamas. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
Yes.
My God,
what planet
are you living on, lady?
I live on Earth.
Okay, well, you know, maybe you ought to give yourself a smack in the face for a reality check.
What's wrong with us putting your child back into her bed without her pajamas?
There's nothing wrong putting my child back in my bed. The problem is you taking the child from my house.
Exactly.
Just because you give me a memo saying you're going to do a home security check?
Yes.
I'll take care of my own home, my own child, my own wife, my own way.
What about the Homeowners Association?
The Homeowners Association can go to hell.
Oh, my God.
Excuse my language for being on the air, but
they can go straight to
hell.
We live in a gated community, Jason.
That's great
and
for you. You know what? That is really good.
Well, I can tell you, Jason, if I broke into your house and you hit me with a flashlight, I'd sue you.
Well, that's fine, but if you broke into my house, I wouldn't hit you with a flashlight. I'd hit you with a .45.
There it is, Steve and Bobby Dooley talking about their plan to secure the children at their Western Estates Homeowners Association by conducting mock kidnappings. They'd bring the kid back minus his pajama bottoms, and maybe they'd take him out for 5 hours for some chocolate or something. All right, well, we got more news to cover from the year 2002. We've got news about the Colorado fires coming up. We have news about Martha Stewart's insider trading. Remember the WorldCom debacle? Do you recall the molesting priests? There was also the 4th of July terror fears, Julia Roberts' marriage. We also had those Inglewood cops in Inglewood, California. Remember that in July? They were caught on videotape allegedly or apparently beating a guy who turned out to be a scumbag anyway. Then, of course, the trapped Pennsylvania miners, the David Westerfield verdict. It's all coming up. The Phil Henry Show with clips of interviews we did this past year. We'll be back to review those news stories in just a moment. This is The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-4... This is the Phil Henry Show.
Tonight we review the top stories of the year 2002 on the Phil Henry Show, but it's not like the way most, if not all, talk shows review stories of a year prior. We are reviewing these stories from the standpoint of the various guests that we had on our program over this past year. People like Paul Lane, a former NASCAR driver, who explained now why we had a NASCAR driver on talking about the Colorado fires. But we did. We had a NASCAR driver on talking about the Colorado fires. This is from June. He explained that the Colorado fires were set by a rather large woman by the name of Terry Barton because she was angry at the wildlife there for being sexually assaulted by a caribou. Vernon Dozier came on in the month of June commenting on Martha Stewart's insider trading problems. He says she just sticks her nose everywhere and makes women feel like things aren't good enough for them. When he has his buddies over for poker, because of all the decorations that his wife has put up after being inspired by Martha Stewart, his buddies think he's gay. Also in the month of June, one of our guests, Robert Green, was on to talk about the WorldCom situation. You all remember WorldCom going belly up, some billions and billions of dollars, people out of jobs, Bob Green wrote a book called You Can't Take It With You. He had gone through the same situation. The real pain, actually, was suffered by the executives in his company, because the workers can always get another job, but the WorldCom executives have wives nagging them for more expensive items, and if Bob were to blow his brains out in his office, he'd get them all over the expensive Dali print behind him, and it would lose its value. In the month of July, more children were found dead in a car from heat. You remember this? Every summer, there's some idiot leaving their kid in a car. It's just that it's always been, and it's always going to be. Mr. Dozier was on to say it isn't the woman's fault. He does it all the time to protect his children from molesting priests. So if there's a priest that molests kids, lock him in a car, even if it's 116 degrees outside. Now, his children did die in the parking lot of a Home Depot, but at least they weren't molested. Which brings us to Dave Oliva. Dave is an aspiring police officer, and he was on to talk to us about Al-Qaeda threats over the July 4th weekend. You remember what that was like last July 4th? And Dave said, in order for us to avoid Al-Qaeda attacks, we should pray to Allah ourselves, the God of the Muslims, and we should pray that the terrorists don't attack us on July the 4th. And remember, you could be handing your kid a stick of dynamite in a bun instead of a hot dog. You just can't be sure.
Terrorism is based on fear. I'm a red-blooded, 42-year-old, single American woman. And these cars don't run. You got that, buddy? I'm not afraid of anything. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
That's a bunch of Jesus freaks.
If all these things say is going to happen,
Jesus
I fear no evil. I don't fear. That's what they want. You have to get my fear because I'm not afraid.
Personally,
buddy, I think you're on drugs.
What about the barbecue sauce?
What?
What about the barbecue sauce I was telling you about? You don't know.
I think you're on acid. I think you're drinking barbecue sauce that's got acid in it.
Hey,
okay? And you're trying to make people afraid. You're probably paranoid yourself. I don't know what kind of cop you are or who you are. I don't believe you, buddy. But I'll tell you what.
Okay, I'll tell you something
right now. There's a lot of Americans that are standing right behind me right now, and they're all saying, we are not afraid. But, you know, but you're a terrorist in your own way.
No, I love my country,
afraid.
Okay?
But we are not afraid. You got that?
Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't pray.
These cars don't run,
you
buddy.
You walk through the valley prayer as long as you say Allah, not God. That's all I'm saying, okay? So
not only am I going to say God,
no,
I'm going to say in the name of Jesus Christ,
fear
no evil.
That pisses
them
off.
And I have the right as an American to say that.
No, you just
now,
pissed
I'm
them
not
off.
Not going to say Allah any more than if a crazy Christian walked up to me and said, you need to say Jesus in order to get to heaven, okay?
You're nuts,
okay? I believe what I believe, not because someone tells me to do it.
Well, Diane, I agree with you. This is Phil Hendry.
Oh, Mr. Hendry, you're doing a disservice by agreeing with this hysterical
Mr.
bitch.
Mr. Hendry, I appreciate
you giving me time on the air, but don't call this woman a bitch.
I've never even called a radio station in my life.
Well, wait a second.
I just want you to know that...
Mr. Hendry, this bitch is trying to say that...
Don't call her a bitch!
Let me tell you somebody. I don't care what you call me because everybody is listening to you and you sound like an idiot, okay?
An idiot?
These cars don't run. I'm not afraid. I don't care if they... I've got a 2-year-old child. One child to my name, okay? I'm telling you, you can stick a gun. I'm not saying as a human being I'm going to be afraid.
But
I'll tell you what. You are just like Bin Laden. That guy didn't even have the guts. He didn't have the guts to put his name on what he did. He's a coward. He's a fool. But I'll tell you what. Those boys over there doing their job, they're not afraid. They'll give you their names, their dog tags, and everything else. Okay, buddy?
Right on, Diane.
We are not afraid.
Can I say something now?
We're not going to be afraid. Not now, not ever.
Okay.
Not from the beginning and not till the end, buddy.
What if you get blown up? Then you'll be afraid.
I guess if she gets blown...
Let me tell you something. If I ever got blown up, I'd be an angel upside. I'd be an angel up in heaven. Throw the courage down to the people that are not afraid.
Well, okay.
You got that?
Are you 45?
Just like anybody that perished in the World Trade Center. Let me tell you something. There's so much power in their families. And so much power in their angels.
First of all,
Diane,
if you're 45 and you're single, you don't need hot dogs.
Okay?
Wait a minute. If you're 45 and single, you don't eat hot dogs. I know that for a fact. You know why? Because you're 45 and single.
Phil, let me tell you something.
Yeah, he's...
I appreciate you letting me say it.
Well, thank you very much. I think
you said it very well.
You said it very well, Diane.
If you're 45 and single, you don't eat hot dogs.
What do you mean she doesn't eat hot dogs if she's 45 and single?
Think about it, man.
There he is, Dave Oliva. Now, you think about that in the coming year. Dave Oliva on The Phil Hendry Show. He is an aspiring Los Angeles Police Department officer. Someday he'd like to be LAPD. And he said, well, we should pray to Allah and keep all those terrorists off of our case. This is New Year's Eve, and we hope you're going to have a good one. Of course, there's the word that those five scumbags snuck into our country, but the New York City police are out in full force there in Times Square. Again, we want to thank our Canadian friends for letting five more sneak in here, but I know you guys didn't know they were terrorists in the first place. Now, we're going to continue with our review of the news stories of the year 2002, but I want to continue to remind you that when you hear the Phil Hendry Show do a news story, you're hearing it for the first time. You're hearing the news story for the very first time. For instance, what exactly does an expensive Dali print have to do with the WorldCom collapse? Well, it was that executive blowing his brains all over that Dali print because he lost his money and he lost his business and his wife is going to throw him out of the house. You got what I'm talking about. In any event, we're going to be taking a look at news stories from the month of July. Julia Roberts got married. Margaret Gray was on our show. She felt that women should be thrilled if their husband was stolen by a Julia Roberts or another beautiful woman because most women simply cannot compete with that kind of sexual charm. Of course, those Inglewood cops beat up a kid at a gas station. Clara Bingham was on to say that her nephew was also a victim of police abuse, and she found it completely unacceptable. Oh, sure, her nephew took a claw hammer to a prostitute's face, but it's still police brutality. Also in the month of July, the Pennsylvania miners were trapped, and thank God they're out. Ted Bell, who's the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, he's a member of the Chamber of Commerce down there, he was on our program, and he was angry that miners were being put at risk for people's barbecues. See, Ted doesn't understand the difference between coal and charcoal. So he had a big sign up in front of his restaurant that says, "No miners were injured during the cooking of our steaks." We'll be right back with our review of the year 2002, continuing on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Welcome back. We are reviewing the top news stories of the year 2002. And David G. Hall, who is, you could say, is my mentor in this business. He's the vice president of syndication for The Phil Hendry Show. And David, how many radio stations are we on?
You know something, Phil? I don't really feel like talking about that.
Well, I mean, as the vice president of syndication, I want...
Just don't go into that.
Well, I wanted to ask at year end how we were doing.
Don't go into it.
Is there something wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong. I just don't want you to be embarrassed by the number that I put out there. Now, you're doing fine. You're doing fine.
Okay, so what is that supposed to mean? Now you got me worried.
You bring me on your program to help you with this top news story of the year, and now you want to ask business. I wanted to talk to you about some of the stuff I haven't heard anything with me on it. Me, the one who's the vice president of syndication. I haven't heard anything. Nothing. You want to know why? Because there's no respect for me. How many radio stations are you on? Right off the bat, I get on your show, and the first thing you want to talk about is me. I. What do you do for me? How many stations am I on? Let's talk about my business. Let's talk about how well I'm doing. What about me, David G. Hall, the vice president of syndication who mentored you and brought you into this business?
We have a cut with you on our Best Of CD.
Oh, thanks.
All right, I'm going to move along here. Maybe you can calm him down, Janice, there on the other line. Coming up now is a review of the story, the David Westerfield trial. The verdict came in back in August. This is the guy, this piece of work that killed that little girl in San Diego. Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association, her husband Steve, got seats for the verdict and actually tried to bring in their box lunches. Bobby wanted to see a crime scene photo, in fact, and reached over on the evidence table to get it, but she said, quote, "some bull dyke bailiff grabbed her hand away," end quote. Although the Westerfield trial has done wonders for tourism in San Diego, Bobby thinks.
I cannot believe this woman. She's talking about being inconvenienced about her box lunch because her little vacation got interrupted. That it wasn't all she was cracked up to be on her vacation. And then she keeps characterizing this sheriff, and it's like unbelievable. This is a human being that's doing her job.
No, I understand that.
Because she couldn't bring her box lunch in there. Oh, big deal.
You know, I understand that, but the point I'm making is this.
What is your point, lady?
My point is
this. This was a horrendous crime, and you are talking about being inconvenienced on your vacation.
I know. You're bringing up that box lunch.
No, I just want to say that I think
unreal.
There is a more...
I can't deal with this.
No, I think there's a more polite way that the San Diego sheriff can tell us that there...
Well, what did she say?
I think your focus is out of order.
Do you know that avocado turns black after about 3 hours? All right. Now,
what
these sandwiches...
Is the crap?
I'm sorry?
I'm asking you about what is your reaction on a horrendous...
Horrific.
Crime.
This is a gothic horror story that came true in our community.
That she's talking about avocados turning black in our lunch. I can't believe this. You know, and now you want to take a crime scene photo and show your kids?
Do you know that is history. That is history that our boys need to learn about.
What history is it that is in that crime photo that your children need to know?
Well, I'll tell you this, Barbara, that if they see that, they won't be going off with strangers, and they will be a little bit more alert. And
that child was 7 years old and didn't have a fighting chance against a man that pulled her from her room and put her into a van, and I don't care if she was the most alert kid in the world, there was no way she was going to fight off this guy.
Look, so I don't disagree with you. I really don't. And, Barbara, I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm simply saying that the city of San Diego, which is very reliant on tourism, manhandled me when I was trying to bring a lousy avocado sandwich into their courtroom.
I think your focus is out of order.
Listen, can I ask something? The reason
it's a trivial thing. You must be from California. I'm sorry. I live in the Midwest, and it's like I can't even relate to your complaint.
You know something? I'm not characterizing where you're from. I don't understand why you're characterizing where I'm from.
You come from Detroit. You must work on cars.
Oh, brother.
I can't believe this.
I want to say something. The reason we brought those lunches is because the court commissary special was a Frisco burger and chili cheese fries. We're both on diets. And
you don't bring food into a courtroom, especially during the verdict phase of a trial.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't know that.
You couldn't buy popcorn at the theater.
I beg your pardon?
Unreal.
I thought I was brought on to talk about this trial.
All right, but that you brought up your box lunch.
Five times.
All right, can I talk about the trial?
Please.
I thought it was fascinating the way this man Westerfield, who is very good looking...
How is this relevant?
I just thought it was interesting that he turned out to be a murderer because he's so clean cut.
Really?
That's
Did you think
one.
Murderers were not clean cut?
Well, Barbara, how many have you been around? I mean, I'm sorry, I don't have a lot of experience with that.
Well, that...
Chop.
It's a ridiculous concept.
Gotcha.
What did you get me at?
Well, at least have the good sense to say that I got you, because you know I got you on that.
Chop.
How did you get me?
That's chop.
Because I said, how many murders have you been around? And yet,
are we on the playground?
I'm sorry.
What are we on the playground now?
First of all, she makes fun of me in California. This is just, I can't even engage in a conversation with an individual that is only concerned about the fact that she couldn't bring her boxed lunch into the courtroom.
You know what the problem is? You're jealous of the fact that I was there and you weren't. Now, the crime scene photos were amazing. The framing was great. The colors were brilliant. I thought it was well done. And I'm saying...
Will you please show us some humanity and say, I was shocked by what was on that photo.
You bet I was. You bet. You can bet that I was shocked by that.
Yeah, that was a dead girl.
You bet.
Yeah. What?
You bet. What? I don't even understand.
You bet. There it is from last August, Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve Dooley talking about getting that box lunch into the David Westerfield verdict. Couldn't do it, and they couldn't get their wine cooler in either. Now, this is the same couple, by the way, who last year tried to get up to, or the year, just maybe in the months closing out 2001, tried to get up to Chandra Levy's wake in Northern California. And they weren't allowed in, and they had brought brought egg salad sandwiches, and they were going to really have themselves a good old time. Bobby and Steve, man, they tour the country going to all of these funerals. They had T-shirts they were going to sell. Just another missed opportunity for Bobby and Steve Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Well, you're listening to the Phil Henry Show, and we're reviewing the top news stories of 2002 in no particular order. We're in the month of August, and we're going to be taking a look at other stories from the month of August. We also want to tell you about our Best Of CD. Yes, the reason why we're playing back so many fine and wonderful cuts from the preceding year, all featuring fascinating interviews that I did with myself, is because we have a CD to sell. Of course, I'm kidding, but only partially.
Our number is 877-616-PHIL if you want to get the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. But here it is. None of the money goes to me, so you can thank God, you can get on your knees tonight and thank Allah that Phil Henry isn't going to get any money off of this. It goes directly to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And as so many people have asked, well, what does that have to do with me, Phil? I live in Portland, or I live in Vancouver, or I live in St. Catharines, Ontario. Well, because a lot of the kids that wind up on the streets of Los Angeles and Hollywood come from those towns. They come from the Midwest. They come from the South. They come from all over the country, coming out here to be a movie star, to be a TV star, to be a stand-up comic, to be a musician. And a funny thing happens on the way to those big dreams. They're eating out of a Dipsy dumpster, or sleeping on the street, or selling themselves in porn movies. Well, what my friend's place does is they help these kids kind of get their heads screwed on straight and tell them where it's at and what it's about and, you know, what life can be as opposed to what you fantasize it is. So they do great work over there. They have a resource center down Hollywood Boulevard. Way, if you want to know where that is, it's way at the other end of from the Man's Chinese and the Kodak Theater. So where all that neat Hollywood stuff is, just go to the way the other end out toward East Hollywood, and there is my friend's place, right on the freeway, man. They're as far away from the tourists as they can get, so they don't scare anybody. They're doing phenomenal work. We support them, and we have for the last 5 years. So if you'd like to help them, and maybe you don't want my CD, I can certainly encourage you to go to their website. It's www.homelessyouth.org, or you could go to my website, philhenryshow.com, and pick up the CD. And the money goes directly to them. So you can either call and order the CD at 877-616-7445, or you can go to our website and order the CD online. Either way, the money goes to the great people at my friend's place. It's the month of January now. I realize there's no Christmas shopping to be done anymore. I don't have any real compelling reason for you to get it. I can't say Easter's around the corner. I guess Martin Luther King's holiday. How about the Super Bowl or something? It's just there's no reason. There really is no reason for you to buy the CD, other than if you dig the humor on our show, then you would certainly like our CD. So the number again is 877-616-7445, and again, it goes to my friend's place. Well, coming up, we will be looking at the molesting priest situation. Also, from the month of September, we will be talking to a retired veteran who went into a Gelson's to get some Crown Royal because he and the other vets were going to watch the 9/11 coverage on television. And there was a woman there that had the audacity to be handing out Hot Pockets. It's all coming up here on the review of the top news stories of the year 2002, as only the Phil Henry Show can do it. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We are back. We're reviewing the news stories of 2002 that we thought were the most important. And as I mentioned earlier, we've sort of been skimming the surface of the news with our coverage. But what we're doing is we're just playing back bits and pieces of interviews we've done over the course of the year with our different guests. Different guests who don't exist, because I was the guy doing the voice of those guests. Back in February, we had the Andre Yates trial. Halle Berry winning the Academy Award, being the first black woman to do so. Pipe bomber Luke Helder, Daniel Pearl, Chandra Levy, Elizabeth Smart, the Colorado fires, the California fires, the Oregon fires for that matter, Martha Stewart, WorldCom, the kidnapping of children, the children being found dead in cars, overheated, the threats on the 4th of July, Julia Roberts getting married, the Inglewood cops, the Pennsylvania miners, the David Westerfield verdict. And then, of course, there was one of the most thoroughly disgusting news stories ever reported anywhere at any time in any given situation, and that was the idea of priests molesting children. But did we stay away from it because we're essentially a comedy show? Of course not. We had on Father James McWhorter. See, it's one thing to talk about molesting priests. It's another thing to have one on the air, which is what the Phil Henry Show gives you each and every day, a molesting priest every day on the air. Two people had sex in St. Patrick's Cathedral back in August, and Father McQuarters came on our program to say, now that's bad. That's bad. Compared to molesting priests, molesting priests did nothing compared to two people having sex in St. Patrick's Cathedral. You might as well urinate in the holy water, as far as he was concerned. Here's Father McQuarters and his take on that whole sex in St. Patrick's Cathedral thing.
I am so angry, I'm next to tears, okay?
What are you crying about, Paul?
This priest is the devil himself in the flesh, and he has some nerve to talk about these guys are going to drink Satan urine. He's the one that's going to drink Satan urine in eternity in hell, and all the priests that he's backing up. This is the most...
Well, wait a minute, Paula. These two people were having sex in the back of St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City.
Well, a cathedral is a building, okay? It is not the church.
And they're two,
right?
they're two consenting adults.
The body of Christ. And what they did to those children...
I thought people would support me. They suspended Opie and Anthony, those two urine-drinking Satanists who...
Well, you knock it off with that.
You are the urine-drinking Satanist, and you're the one that's going to burn in hellfire and drink Satan's urine for eternity.
But I can
if I was even a Catholic, I would denounce it, and I hope people listening just walk away. My shadow wouldn't even darken the doorway of a Catholic church.
Well,
I am your Paul and sticking at
Paula,
walls.
You know
using God's name in this way and abusing children, innocent children, totally messing up their lives. I'm talking about that. You believe
Paula,
in God, you're doing this under God's name.
But could I tell you something?
Could
I tell you something, Paula?
I don't want to hear anything.
Can
just go to hell.
Music?
All I have to say, you're the devil in
flesh.
Wait
a minute. Paula, this is Phil Henry. What's that music in the background?
There's no music.
No, I'm listening to music on the line with Father McQuarters.
That's Father Staley. We're rolling out the celebration. We've got the molesting priests off the front page, and...
And you guys are playing the organ and partying?
The word just came down from the Vatican. Go for it.
So what's he up there playing the organ?
Father Staley, he had some of the port, and he's up there. It happens. Paula, can I ask you a question, darling? Do you roll the bones?
Pardon me?
Do you roll the bones?
If I what?
You know, voodoo.
No.
What do you mean,
I've never believed in it. I don't get involved in it. Never have and never will.
Have you ever passed the spliff?
Pardon me?
Have you ever passed the duchy?
All right.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm an upstanding citizen.
Are you a Catholic, dear?
No, I'm not. I never would be.
Well, now, why wouldn't you be Catholic when we party hardy? And
yeah, you guys are partying? What are you partying over, man? Because you're off the front page with the whole molesting thing, and onto the front page goes these two people screwing in St. Patrick's?
I have to tell you something, Phil, that I am shocked and I'm amazed, that I thought I'd come on your program and have people supporting me. But instead, they're out supporting those two urine drinkers.
Okay.
I'm going to hang up, though. I can't, you know, listen to this absolute nonsense, and, you know, it's just totally horrendous, and... Like I said, you're talking about these guys going to drink Satan urine. When you're digging a ditch for somebody else, dig it for yourself, because you're the one that's going to fall in there.
But
and the whole Catholic Church with you.
But they were screwed. They were screwed in the back of St. Patrick's. Doesn't anybody understand?
Well,
nobody cares.
So what?
Nobody cares. Got that? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. What we care about are the kids that the Catholic Church abused and was culpable in abusing by covering up these priests, moving them around the country, and everything else. Who cares if somebody's screwed in the back of St. Patrick's Cathedral?
Phil, I hope I see the day when you're nailed to a cross in hell and that you cook and fry slowly. Hello?
Father McQuarters, yeah. He's my parish priest. There he is commenting on those two urine drinkers, Opie and Anthony. I like that lady from Jamaica.
You to drink Satan urine.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, Phil, I just want to check in and say I'm really enjoying the program.
This is Jeff Dowder?
Yeah, it is.
Folks, this is Jeff Dowder from the band Dark Horse, and he was on yesterday, in fact, explaining cloning.
Yeah, I was just talking about cloning, but really, really enjoying the program today. We're just getting set. We're going to jam later on. We're going to be at Mr. Pooh's tonight, two sets, 8 and 11, and want to make sure everybody comes out for us. It's going to be a total party. You know, it's going to be just a lot of jams, a lot of really, you know, good-looking chicks are going to be there. Everything is going to be sweet. It's going to be sweet. So I hope everybody's coming out really enjoying the program tonight, though.
Well, that's great, and we're glad that you're listening. And Mr. Pooh's is where?
That's in Hermosa Beach near the pier. Come on at 8 o'clock. $10 cover. Get you in. Get you settled down. Couple of pops. Then you're on your own. But I think the music's going to be very sweet. We are laying out tracks from our new album. Which We haven't had a title for it, but I really kind of like, you know, drinking Satan's urine and just, you know, kicking back and having a cup of it.
Well, you can do what you want with that.
Well, we've got a couple of songs that we're working on, and I don't know whether you asked me to come on.
Well, what I wanted you to do was to maybe give us a little musical break between some of these things that we're doing, some of the news stories that we're reviewing.
Sure. I don't know what you want me to do.
Well, how about something from your new album?
All right, that'd be sweet. Right now I've got Tommy Boone, our bass player, not here, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a track. This is called... We don't have a title for it, man, so I'll just call it, you know, Jim. This is the name of the song, is Jim.
Well, what do you mean it's Jim?
Right?
What do you mean? There's no title?
No, I have a title.
Okay, what are you going to do?
Get set up. Just get my drum pad set up. Hold on for a second.
This is Jeff Downer from the band Dark Horse, and he's going to do a song called Jim. What's it about?
It's about sex.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm getting the pad. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I love the way you move.
All right, that's fine. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Well, what am I giving the phone number out for? I don't want any calls. I'm looking for any phone calls. It's ridiculous. The song's called Jim, and it's about sex. Okay, we will be back with further reviews of the year 2002, including our veteran Lloyd Bonafide, the former owner of Bonafide's Heating and Plumbing in Alhambra. He's now long retired, and he was going to sit and watch the 9/11 coverage. We were in New York for 9/11, as you remember, and he was going to sit around with some of his veteran friends. He went over to Gelson's to get some Crown Royal, and then all hell broke loose. We'll find out what happened coming up next on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Phil Jewish Hendry Media Show. Conspiracy. Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I mentioned back in the month of September, it was the anniversary of 9/11, Lloyd Bonafide had come on our program to talk about going into Gelson's to get some Crown Royal, and then he came back. He was going to come back and watch the 9/11 coverage with some vet friends of his, but when he went into Gelson's, he saw a woman having total disrespect for the anniversary of 9/11. She was offering samples of Hot Pockets in one of the aisles. So I don't know what he did, but he blacked out. You know, as Lloyd does. He just blacked out. I think he probably tried to take a swing at her or something. The month of September was not just, though, about 9/11. There was that whole Irish traveler thing and Martha Toogood. I mean, in other words, so what? Now, it's like The Hobbits Part 2. You know, with two towers coming out in like 2 months, they hired some woman named Toogood to run around the country as part of a group called the Irish Travelers, sprinkling fairy dust and you know, taking it from Gandalf. So in any event, there was Martha Toogood, and she was caught on videotape beating the crap out of her kid, and everybody got all upset, and, you know, they were worried. Bobby Dooley from the Homeowners Association of Western Estates, she doesn't believe in hitting her kids. She believes in the three R's, reinforce, reaffirm, and reinvigorate, as she explains here.
I want to tell Bobby that her three sons are going to be the next sons in the prison because she's raising Jeffrey Dahmer wannabes with no conscience whatsoever. You cannot reaffirm children and turn around and tell them everything that they do is okay, and you are making excuses for them constantly. Inappropriately touching a teacher?
That's the one I couldn't get you, Annie.
Inappropriately touching a teacher is completely out of the question. In high touch, you said that he beat up his teacher. There is a huge difference there.
One of the kids beat up a teacher.
For every single thing they do.
Jamie, you are a teacher, and you know this is a very pivotal time in their lives. If we use the wrong kind of punishment, you know we're going to change them forever. He put his hand up his teacher's dress. Big deal. These young boys have hormones.
Excuse me? That is a huge deal.
Hey, teacher in the
school. I can't believe you're moralizing everything like that.
I'm sorry.
Everything they do, they need to be responsible for. You don't need to make
excuses
for them.
you teach them right from wrong. I said,
you
Mommy.
Don't. You make excuses for them and you give him pudding, Pop. That tells you whatever you do is okay. It's not
you know
okay.
Something?
He needs to have consequences. When
I want to find out.
In the real world, do you think a judge is going to just back down and say, that's okay? No, they're going to put him in jail. And that's where they need to be right now. Out of your hands and into somebody who's going to make them responsible for their own actions.
Jamie, the host is trying to say something.
I can handle it. Jamie, this is Phil Henry. I want to ask you something as an educator. If you found a young man, now I'm going to tell you something. If I saw a kid painting swastikas on a synagogue, first thing I want to do is have him scrub them off. The second thing I would do is have him spend every day for the next 6 months in the Holocaust Museum. And is that wrong of me?
Jamie? In a way, but not 6 months. I do think he needs to do some serious research because he has absolutely no respect for human dignity here. And that's the underlying
problem. Have a clear view of overreacted. So we got Martin Luther King Jr. here. Is that it?
No. He is not overreacting. He has a very valid point. I think 6 months would be a little long. But having him research and understand the culture that they're obviously hating against is a valuable thing.
Can I ask you as a teacher, because you are a teacher, don't you think it's entirely normal for a young boy to want to get a handful of his teacher's rear end?
It is not normal.
If one of my students got a handful of my rear end, I think I would die on that hill because I would reach down and smack the crap out of him. For
that's
one thing, your hands need to be on your own self. And you know what? I think that would be something that I would have to go to bat for because that is completely wrong.
You know, Jamie, I'm going to say something. I respect you, but you really have a Rosa Parks complex. You really do want to just sort of be the woman up the front of the bus, don't you?
No.
Yeah, I really think
your problem is that you constantly make excuses for your kids, and you never listen to anybody's opinion because you think you're right, and you're not. You are damaging the self-esteem of your kids by the way you are treating them.
Mr. Bozell, I got a handful of my teachers rear at one time. And
you know what, Mr. Bozell? You're raising three criminals. You know that.
How dare you? And, you know, you too. And all of you. Everyone. All of you in Utah. You all...
Okay, so there's Bobby, and that was all about, of course, the what the hell was it about? What story was that? Oh, it was Martha Tugood and that kid with that that whole beating the crap out of the kid in the videotape. That show, by the way, the cut you heard was from a broadcast we did live in Salt Lake City back in the month of September. We were traveling all over the country in September. We were in New York, then we went to Vegas, and then we went to Salt Lake City. So that was that, and we have much, much more coming up here on the Phil Henry Show, including a look at Michael Jackson's situation. You remember when he hung that punk kid out the window? Big deal. And remember Gloria Allred pretended like she cared? Boy, that backfired on her. We're going to be talking about that. We also have a few more things to play for you. Vernon Dozier will be talking about one of my favorite interviews of the year. Was an interview with Vernon Dozier where he talked about President Bush being a daddy's boy. Margaret Gray also commented on all the Hollywood stars protesting the war in Iraq, and this is why Sean Penn went to Iraq to see for himself, and she was disgusted that other Americans didn't do it, because they're chicken. And then, of course, we had R.C. Collins talking about how Trent Lott should do the right thing, and that's put a pistol in his mouth and blow his brains out. Those are the big news stories, and we will be covering all of those as we continue here on the Phil Henry Show with snippets and pieces and just, you know, little 2-3 minute clips from interviews that we did with a variety of guests over the last year. The Phil Henry Show also has its Best of the Year 2002 CD. We're selling that for $20. Big deal. Plus shipping and handling is $350. $23.50 got our CD. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And if you want to call and order it over the phone, you can do that too. I remember when we started selling this online, I thought, well, this is going to be a great idea. People can get it on the... they can just, you know, log on and get it. And then I had calls. Is there any way I can get it without a computer? Because I don't have one. And, oh, wow. I thought that everybody had a computer. Try selling something on a computer. Try selling something online. You'll find out real fast how many people don't have computers. You know, you get a computer and you live in the world of computers. You think everybody's got a computer. And no, not everybody's got a computer. In fact, most people don't have computers. And I'm sitting here with, I got to get out more. I got to get out with the real people. Where I live, I'm so insulated, it makes me sick. I want to get outside. I want to get into a bar fight. I want to get run over by a bus. These are my New Year's plans. I'm going to go out and get into a bar fight, just so I can get out with the real people. Anyway, so there we were trying to sell it on the computer, and people are calling and going, yeah, I don't have a computer. And then the other thing is, try selling it with a credit card. Forget it. What if you don't have a credit card? What? Who do I got listening to me anyway? Thousands of phone calls from people. I don't have a computer, and I don't have a credit card. Okay, have you got a telephone? Yeah, there's one down the street. All right, go down and use that one. And will you accept a check? A money order? You don't have a checking account? No, but I can make a cashier's check. All right, we'll accept money orders and cashier's checks, and you can use the phone down the street. And here's the number, 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445, for the Best of the Phil Henry Show, your 2002 CD. It includes, by the way, some David Hall material, Father James McWhorter, a lot of really great stuff, nothing that we're playing tonight. Everything you're hearing tonight is just the news and review of the year 2002. Our 2002 CD has that and much, much, much more. As a matter of fact, it's a double CD. I don't mention that enough, but you get two CDs for the price of one. So call that number, 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. Phil Henry Show, right back in a minute.
1-800-449-8686, the world famous Phil Henry Show. And now, Phil Henry.
I know it's not my imagination because Janice was standing next to me and we were watching the news break on Fox just moments ago because we're watching for the ball to drop in Times Square. And the woman, the newswoman, Paige Hopkins. Now, imagine, if you will, you're in a newsroom, you're working into the evening, it's New Year's Eve. Now, what do you think? I don't do this, and I'm saying that very seriously. I don't, but I know that I've been around newsrooms and I've been around broadcasting enough to know that some people might go and, you know, pull a little bottle of champagne out of the icebox, pour themselves a little glass, spread the bottle around, pass the bottle around the newsroom. Hey, it's New Year's Eve. And the lady on Fox News, this Paige Hopkins, some people get really thick-tongued even after just one glass of champagne because this is the way she sounded.
Coming up later on, more news right here in your Fox channel.
I swear to God. And I looked at Janice and said, was that my... She said, it sounds a little bit like... So then the woman came back, she said,
and of course, later on, we're going to have more news, so you stay with us.
Just betraying a little tiny bit of... Now, many of you are not old enough to remember a woman by the name of Jessica Savage. I saw... That night. Do you know the night I'm talking about? All right. Back in the 80s, NBC used to do a thing called news break or a news brief or something in the middle of prime time. I don't know if they do it anymore. I don't think they do. But they would have like a minute or 2 minute news break. And Jessica Savage was one of the great up-and-coming correspondents and anchors. She had been in Philadelphia. She'd done a fantastic job. In fact, we were just talking about Cela Ward. Janice, Cela Ward played her in a made-for-TV movie, Jessica Savage. And she was really a strikingly beautiful woman and a tremendous journalist, but she had personal problems. And I was watching TV the night she came on to do,
and now an NBC news break with Jessica Savage in Washington.
Good evening. President Reagan was in the White House today.
I swear to God. You think I'm exaggerating? Ask anybody who saw it. Ask anybody. Now, it was more than booze. It had to be pills. And she later said that she had mixed alcohol and prescription drugs. But, oh, my God. How anybody would go on the air not knowing they sounded like that, right? Everybody who gets hammered thinks they're fine, right? Come on, Bob, you can't drive.
What do you mean I can't drive? Why would you make that interpretation?
Are you freaking stupid? Give me your keys before I knock you out cold.
Well, I'd like to see you try it.
Yeah, okay. I don't do that, by the way.
What is that?
You want to drive? Sure, go ahead. And my wife, oh, God, what are you doing? No, guy wants to run it off the cliff. Go ahead. Go. Get out of here.
Okay, thanks, Phil.
And there's Maria. Are you crazy? You come right in here and you sleep on our couch. No, don't sleep on our couch. Go! Get in the car. Drive really fast when you get out onto that windy road out there. But I swear to God, that was poor Jessica Savage. And then I guess she got canned from NBC, and later she died in an accident. But it's unfortunate because she was very good, and to very publicly kind of lose it like that. I mean, just to watch your career just kind of go away publicly like that. But I swear it was,
hello and good evening. The president of the United States of America.
To like 3 minutes, and you're going, huh? What? Wait a minute. Am I hearing this? Or is there something wrong with it? That's the way I am. I think there's something wrong with me. Like I need medication. So that was that. Now, I bring all of that up to say that there are many instances in which the news has a way of knocking us all off kilter. Like, for instance, in the month of October, the DC sniper. Now, that was something that was very frightening. And everybody was trying to get to the bottom of that. There, you talk about speculation. People thought it was a militia doing reconnaissance. People thought it was Al-Qaeda. People thought this. Only on our show did I come on very clear-eyed and very sober, well, sort of sober, and say, no, it's some nut. But who was the bigger nut, the D.C. sniper or Jay Santos, the night he came on our show from the Citizens Auxiliary Police to say that he was sanding off small patches of paint off of people's cars, cars that he would stop to see if they were recently painted, because there was word that the D.C. sniper had recently painted his van. Here's Jay Santos from the month of October on the Phil Hendry Show review of the top news stories of 2002.
I'm retired military. I did over 20 years in the military.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, Semper Fi to you. I'll tell you what, I drive a van. I just had it painted. And if I go to one of your flare drops and you try and put a belt sander on it, there's going to be a problem and you're going to have it.
Sir,
you ain't searching nothing.
Sir, it's a belt sander that is industrial use. Now, you just had the car painted. Why?
Because it had scratches in it, you creep. You touch my car, you search my car, or you touch anybody in my family or me, and there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a citizen's arrest, and it's going to be you getting arrested.
Sir, I got to ask you this time. Do you own a sniper gun?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I got a souvenir from Vietnam. You got a problem with that?
All right, let's put that together. You got a sniper gun? You're a Vietnam vet, which could mean some mental imbalance. I'm not saying...
What are you talking about? Mental imbalance.
You know our Vietnam vet, sir, came back a little cracked, messed up in the head.
Oh, I see, because I served my country, I'm messed
That's
up in the head.
Yeah,
now.
That is absolutely unfair. The 99.9% of our Vietnam vet.
Come on, Phil, you know the stories. You've read the newspapers.
Yeah, and did you ever look at that? I'm just telling you, if I pull up to one of your flare drops,
okay,
you try and put a belt sander on my vehicle, you're going to eat the flare, and then you're going to be arrested.
Mike, I want you to stay on the line because you're a veteran. I got another veteran on the line here.
Yeah.
Hold on. Lloyd, is this you?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd?
First of all, I want to echo everything that Mike has said, and I was just listening to this fella, and as a fellow veteran, if this bastard touched my Winnebago, I would... Oh, boy. You don't even... And I did 3 years in the Korean War, sir.
You gentlemen are threatening me.
You listen to me and you listen good. You put a sander on my Winnebago, which my wife and I use once a year to go to see my daughter-in-law in Portland, Oregon, and I will tear your eyes out and I will have sex with your skull. And
all right, sir. I mean,
that's how strong...
See what I'm talking about? And this is the thing that I've got to put up with as a citizen.
No.
What?
You got it wrong. We got to put up with people like you.
We got to put up with you, you piece of garbage. And you know what we used to do to guys like you in the service?
Yeah.
We'd Vaseline up their rear end and go ahead and go to work on them. One after the other. Isn't that right, Mike?
Wait a second, okay?
You see, I was called a faggot. And this all but
well, you are a faggot.
Well, wait a minute. You're talking about...
Yes, that's right. We'd sodomize a man.
Not me.
Well, gentlemen, I can assure you that I sound like I'm probably a little bit younger than both of you. I think I can handle both of you, no problem.
That's a good one. Hey. Buddy, you put your hands on me, and you'll pull back two bloody stumps.
Okay, now I'm a fag, and I'm going to have my skull sexed. Anything else, gentlemen?
You know what I got in my garage? I got a machete that I got in right after the Chosin Reservoir. One of the Marines gave me a machete.
and you want to see it.
Okay, we've got enough violence going on here.
Well, these guys are talking about hurting me. And
well, but you're pulling over and you're belt sanding their car. You detained a woman for 4 hours.
She called me a faggot. She called Sub-Commander Bill Nugent a faggot. She called Major Elvis Newton a faggot. She said that we all look like faggots in our fairy-ass pit helmets.
Do you want to be a police officer?
I beg pardon? I am a police officer, sir.
No. You want to be police. A certified police officer.
I'd poke you in the rear end. That's what I'd do.
No, you want to be a certified police officer.
Sir, I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We save lives.
I'm asking, do you want to be a certified member of the police force?
Are you meaning the guys that have the cars?
What I'm meaning is to go to the police academy and become a certified police officer.
And be in a car with
real cops.
Why don't you answer the man's question? I don't think there's too much politics involved.
In the police force?
Yes, sir.
No. Please. Now, I'm trying to be reasonable with you.
I'm being reasonable, too, sir. There's far too much politics. All we're trying to do is save lives.
You're not saving any lives by sanding my car.
You're not going to save your life, because if you put a belt sander on my car, I will drive over top of you and every member of your family. All right, I got to get the address of both of these gentlemen, Phil, if you have enough time.
What for?
I've been threatened by both of them. I need their addresses.
Don't give any address.
I'll give you my address.
Don't do it.
I want to give you my address. You want it?
Yeah, go right ahead.
123 Ass Kick Street.
That's the beautiful thing. That's Lloyd Bonafide, owner of Bonafide Heating and Plumbing, along with Jay Santos, who is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, going at it about that whole D.C. sniper situation. Jay had a belt sander, and he was just sanding down just a little patch of your paint, no big thing. And Lloyd came on to say if you did that, well, there'd be trouble. So that was from the month of October. The D.C. sniper case, of course, came to a successful conclusion. They caught the dirtbag, some screwball. Ain't they got this guy's, they've got them locked up in a rubber room now, too. And they got a couple of lawyers that are saying that their clients are being deprived boiled peanuts or something. I don't know, whatever those guys want. Now, coming up, we have a little piece of an interview we did about Winona Ryder with one of the top news columnists in the country, Margaret Gray. She believes that Winona was just researching a role, and we'll tell you why Margaret believes Winona was just researching a role when she was arrested for shoplifting. Coming up on our review of the top news stories of the year on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. The Phil Hendry Show, reviewing the top stories of the year 2002. Was it a good year for you? What kind of a year was it for us here on The Phil Hendry Show? It was pretty decent. Pretty decent. We did a damn good year of radio. I know that. But when you do a show like ours, you're constantly at odds with the powers that be. You're constantly at odds with the establishment. Constantly looking to, you know, dig yourself out of another hole. For instance, in November, Michael Jackson hung his brat out of a window and Gloria Allred pretended she cared about it. And we said that on the air. We said we're just pretending about it. And we took a bunch of crap for that. Some friend of hers called us. I don't know who. Eric Hester, a noted plastic surgeon, came on our program after the Michael Jackson incident to say that Michael Jackson had been voted the most handsome man in America. And if you look at his face, it ain't. But he thought it was. He thought it was plastic surgery-wise. It was just really just so chiseled and great-looking. Also, in the month of November, Winona Ryder's trial verdict came in, and Margaret Gray came on our program to say that Winona was just researching a role. You can't really hold her to the same standard. She was researching her role as an actress, see? And Margaret knows this because Margaret Gray herself did research as a young actress. She performed oral sex on 60 men for a role in Sweet Charity because Uta Hagen told her to. And she found out that she could write her chapstick off at the end of the year. So here is Margaret to tell us more about that.
Phil, I've seen you at parties. I've seen you with some of these stars. You're just as knocked out as anybody. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I had a very, very late Chinese lunch. I'm so sorry.
Well, that just about shut down this show.
What?
That belch.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to make a point.
Then make the point.
I won't be yelled at, Phil.
Make the point.
In researching her part, she has to go and live the life. And I mentioned when I researched Sweet Charity.
I know. You gave oral sex to 40 different guys.
Well, you say that like it's something I ought to be ashamed of.
Yeah, I would think that it is something you're ashamed of.
I was doing it for the art, and I wasn't married. Thank you very much, Jesus H. Christ. I didn't know you just got off the cross.
I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody else. I'm saying it isn't something that I would admit on the air that I gave oral sex to 30 or 40 guys.
Well, if I were you, I wouldn't either. But I'm a girl. It's different, isn't it?
All right, okay.
I wrote off the chapstick. And I guess you think that's funny, don't you? I guess you think that that's really a riot, don't you?
You wrote off what?
I wrote off all my chapstick for the next year. Are you laughing?
I think it's amusing.
Well, you better stop, because I'll come through the phone. I don't like being laughed at when I'm making a point. And the point I was making was...
I know. You did Sweet Charity, Equity Waiver, Melrose Avenue, and the L.A. Times called you a revelation.
Those scabs on my knees almost won me an Emmy. And what have you won?
I'm not saying that you're not... Just have some class. Have some class about what you're admitting to.
Still, I still remember it as if it was yesterday. The minute you walked in the room, I could tell you were a man of distinction, a real big spender. Hey, big spender, spend a little time with me. 2, 3, 4, twist, pivot, the minute you walked in the...
Are you going to do the whole show for me? I got it already. I understand you were a revelation, according to the L.A. Times. But to come on my program and say researching a role is necessary for the art... Look, Margaret, you could give oral sex to the entire male population of the San Luis Obispo colony. That would be fine with me.
Thank you very much for thinking I'm a slut.
Well, you're the one that said you gave 40... Whatchamacallits to 40 guys. That's not against the law, necessarily. What she did is against the law.
Oh, and somebody really got hurt. I think you need to understand...
When are you ever going to be wrong? Just once be wrong.
The entire male population of the California colony at San Luis Obispo, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
Good. She's a beautiful thing. Margaret Gray, syndicated columnist, talking about Winona Ryder. The minute you walked in the room. Woo-hoo! Yes, sirree, Daddy. All right, so anyway, that was that big Winona Ryder thing. That was a whole lot to do about nothing, wasn't it? Boy, the stuff we're asked to get worked up for. It's like it's wild. It's wild. Winona Ryder, she shoplifted. The only thing about the Winona Ryder trial that I dug was looking at her face. What a beauty. What a beautiful woman. Screwy, sure. Nuttier than freaking two coats of paint. You got it, but who cares? What a beautiful kisser that chick's got. You know, it's funny about the movies that she makes. It doesn't really come through. Well, I guess because she's doing a character thing. Beetlejuice or whatever that other stuff she does. Man, she's a freaking living doll. That's the only thing about that trial that was interesting, looking at her. But other than that, all right, well, coming up now on the film, not now, but in just a few minutes, we're going to tease this, and then we're going to have you sit through a whole bunch of stuff, and then we're going to come back with it. Vernon Dozier was on our program. He's a high school football coach from South Pasadena, California, to talk about how George Bush is really just a daddy's boy. He thinks that Bush will attack Iraq because he thinks that that's what Bush's daddy would like. And we'll talk to you, we'll be hearing Vernon's comments on our program in just a moment about that. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show. This is the last show of the year 2002. We won't be here on New Year's Day. Another fantastic show is lined up for you on New Year's Day. I hope you're with us during our Christmas week. We really had a blast doing a lot of the different shows that we did, just kind of the holiday shows that we did. Tomorrow, do we have like a special broadcast plan for tomorrow? Sort of, Janice? Yeah, okay. Every day is a special day here at The Phil Henry Show. Every day is a holiday. Our CD is available at 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-PHIL. If in the off chance you own a computer, if in the rare instance you actually have a computer, you can order it online. And if in the real extreme chance you have a credit card, you can use that.
Otherwise, yes, to answer many of your questions, we will take, you can take money and wrap it in a piece of white paper and put it in an envelope. A lot of people say don't send cash. Go ahead, send cash. I don't care. Hell do I care? The mail, the postal service steals it. It's not, no sweat off of me. I guess it is. Anyway, call us at 877-616-7445 or go on our website, philhenryshow.com. Pick up our 2002 CD. It benefits the kids at my friend's place. We'll be right back with more of the top stories of the year 2002.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. And now, Phil Hendry.
I'm meeting my wife later at a friend's house. They're having a celebration. Every year they have it over there. And I just got off the phone with my wife. She says, so, you know, come on over. I'm going to go over there. I'm blow-drying my hair, and I'm going to go over and help with the preparations. And I said, well, okay. And I actually said these words. I found a clean shirt. Can I wear, you know, I'm wearing it now. Can I wear that? She said, oh, yeah, that's fine. Just, you know, if, is it the only one you have? Yeah, it's, that's it. Because ever since I got upset with the cleaner, the one cleaners I take my shirts to, I take my shirts. I take them over to Mrs. Cho, and she's out of sight. She's never popped any buttons off of them. She doesn't leave any stains on. Every time I took it to this old cleaner, I had a new argument with the guy. And is that, am I right? Where else in life do you suddenly feel your steam coming out of your ears than at a damn dry cleaner? Now, I know, because I've had people who will walk by dry cleaners covering their face because they know the guy in there, and they got into an argument with him once. And they're, yeah. So I don't have any shirts, and I got to wear the one that I got up and put on this morning. Ah, big deal. New Year's Eve is it's overrated. It's cool, you know. I mean, you want to party, but come on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, it's just all right. It's okay. Yay! Another year in this hell, on this planet, in this dimension. Why? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wee! And I'm still here. If I disappeared, maybe it'd be great. If I was transported off to where Bigfoot lives. All right, we are, believe me, I'm happy to be alive. It's great. So what's next year, 2003? At the beginning of the show, I couldn't remember. Yes, we're reviewing the show's top news stories for the year 1962. All right. In the month of November, Michael Jackson hung that kid out the window, and everybody was upset. Also in the month of November, we had Winona Ryder. Well, then we moved on into the month of December. This is my personal favorite interview from the entire year. And it's only, the snippet that we have here is only 2 minutes long. But it's just personally mine. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to play it twice. Because it's only 2 minutes long, you know, I don't think you guys will be too upset with that. We interviewed our football coach, Vernon Dozier, and he talked about Bush saying that Bush would attack Iraq because he wanted to make his father happy. Here it is. And you feel very strongly that George Bush Jr. is being a big fat baby hanging on his...
I there's something about a man who has to wander around behind his father and tug at the back of his jacket getting approval that makes me want to... You know, I tell you, the way my father treated me and the way my father treated my mother, I will go to my death and you could bury me face down on an anthill, and I would take that before I allowed any part of my
dad
to influence me.
All right, you're saying some strong things about the president.
I understand.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Amy. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, dear. You're on the air.
Well, I really wanted to tell Vernon that I think he's wrong, and I think he's an idiot.
An idiot.
I think that he is bringing his emotions to the United States against our president, that I'm a Democrat, and I did not vote for Bush, but he is our president, and he is destroying our collective wishes that our president take care of Iraq.
Well,
Iraq has terrorized us, and we really should pay him back.
That's an interesting comment, Amy. Vernon, how do you respond to that?
Well, Amy, my feeling is if George Bush Jr. didn't spend most of his time in the self-help section of Barnes & Noble looking for heal the dada within books, we may not be on the brink of war. I mean, I had to get Mama to change Georgie dirty smelly diaper.
Oh, you're really belittling the president.
Well, Amy, don't you agree with that?
And I'm not really going to be participating, but thank you all.
Well, all right, ma'am. But just remember, when the president goes, boom! Somebody has to clean it up.
I don't know. I guess I'm probably a little stupid. Ain't that funny? But I'm still going to play it again. And you feel very strongly that George Bush Jr. is being a big fat baby hanging on his...
I there's something about a man who has to wander around behind his father and tug at the back of his jacket getting approval that makes me want to... You know, I tell you, the way my father treated me and the way my father treated my mother, I will go to my death and you could bury me face down on an anthill, and I would take that before I allowed any part of my
dada
to influence me.
All right, you're saying some strong things about the president.
I understand.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Amy. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, dear. You're on the air.
Well, I really wanted to tell Vernon that I think he's wrong, and I think he's an idiot, and I think that he is bringing his emotions to the United States against our president, that I'm a Democrat, and I did not vote for Bush, but he is our president, and he is destroying our collective wishes that our president take care of Iraq.
Well,
Iraq has terrorized us, and we really should pay him back.
That's an interesting comment, Amy. Vernon, how do you respond to that?
Well, Amy, my feeling is if George Bush Jr. didn't spend most of his time in the self-help section of Barnes & Noble looking for heal the dada within books, we may not be on the brink of war. I mean, I had to get Mama to change Georgie dirty smelly diaper.
Oh, you're really belittling the president.
Well, Amy, don't you agree with that?
And I'm not really going to be participating, but thank you all.
Well, all right, ma'am. But just remember, when the president goes, boom! Somebody has to clean it up.
Okay, that's Vernon Dozier talking about President Bush and the feeling that many, many people have that he is trying to please his father, which I don't particularly agree with. But that's the absurd lengths to which some people would go. Not me. Some people. All right, the top stories of the year 2002 will continue here on the Phil Hendry Show. In the month of December, Margaret Gray was back on, commenting on all the Hollywood stars protesting the war in Iraq. And this is why Sean Penn went to Iraq to see for himself. She was disgusted that other Americans didn't do it because they were chicken. And also in the month of December, R.C. Collins was on to talk about the Trent Lott situation. We've come back. We will hear from R.C. Collins and that piece of interview that we did with him. He's a cadet at the Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California, and find out what his thinking was on Trent Lott. That's all ahead on The Phil Hendry Show, the top stories of the year 2002 in just a minute.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, looking at these news stories, I never really told you what I thought about them. I don't know whether you're interested or not, but I just wanted to inject my personal opinion about each one of these so-called news stories. I'm not really a news junkie. I read the paper. I read the sports page, mostly. I'm more interested in the human experience. I'm more interested in the way a woman does her nails or how much a guy pays for a beer than I am in
front page news, which is only manufactured by some guy who has to meet a deadline, right? But as long as we have the stories like William Harris and Emily Harris and the SLA, I mean, all those people, they had to go, you know, just bury them under the jail. Then the Enron thing, bury those guys under the jail. And those Canadians, that skiing controversy, oh, I don't even know what sport it was. Was it skiing or it's finger painting? Oh, figure skating. I thought it was finger painting. Well, whatever. They got their gold medal, and that's fine. See, the Winter Olympics, something's seriously wrong with me because I don't enjoy one bit of that other than the fact that at one time there was a Soviet Union and we beat them in hockey, and that was kind of neat. The Andrea Yates trial, very tragic. What else are you going to say about that? There's no opinion you can offer about that. She killed her kid. She's guilty. Go to jail. I can't believe that people spent time talking about it. What's the talk about? She's nuts. She killed her kids. Put her away. Halle Berry winning her Academy Award, first black woman to do it. You know, winning Academy Awards has gotten to the point where it's almost like winning a Nobel Prize, like you're actually doing something, like you're actually doing something important. It's not like they developed some theory of biochemistry or they're helping to promote the development of a new drug that will cure a disease or helping us to explore outer space by understanding, light and ultraviolet light. It's just an Academy Award. And Halle Berry went from being this sleek, smooth, gorgeous, debonair and sophisticated woman to like she had just won a car on The Price is Right. Then we have Robert Blake getting arrested. That whole thing was just sad and twisted. Just a long line of celebrities having trouble in California. I mean, ever since I was a kid, you see Lenny Bruce, they find him dead on the floor, and Ramon Navarro, they find him, and then Sal Mineo gets knifed, and then Natalie Wood, and then Marvin Gaye, and I can't even, you forget it, man. The mind numbs. Then, of course, we had that pipe bomb kid, which is just another version of like somebody blowing up a toilet in the high school men's room, except the guys, you know, this is some serious stuff. Daniel Pearl, I mean, that's a tragedy. How anybody could look at that videotape of Daniel, what happened to Daniel Pearl, and not believe in a war on terror? Well, frankly, I think the people that don't believe in a war on terror never saw that videotape. Chandra Levy, again, nothing to say, but they sure milked that one. And, of course, the poor little Elizabeth Smart, her kidnapping. What are you doing? You're looking for a girl. Can she be found? We don't know. What we do on our show is we don't talk about the story. The story is never, that never leaves you much room to talk about anything. The story is cut and dried. What we do on our show is we talk about people's reaction to the story, how people are perceiving the story, and how the news is reporting the story. Paul Lane talking about Terry Barton and the Colorado fire. Why would she light a fire? Maybe a caribou did insult her. Who knows? Anyway, that brings us to our current story, and that is the one we're going to wrap with tonight. R.C. Collins is talking about the Trent Lott situation. As you know, Trent Lott was forced to resign but public opinion and popular opinion probably swayed him. He indicated that he would have voted for Strom Thurmond in 1948. Strom Thurmond was a Dixiecrat segregationist. He said the country would be better off had we elected Strom Thurmond, and Strom Thurmond in 1948 was just a tarnished, worn-out, old Southern bigot. And it kind of showed something about Trent Lott that I suppose people hadn't known, which was he didn't know where to keep his, you know, when to keep his mouth shut or where to say the things he should. Here's R.C. Collins talking about the only thing that Trent Lott should do after making such a public gaffe, and that's kill himself.
That is the craziest thing I have ever heard of.
That's the way we do it in the military.
I may be wrong here, but the man should resign, yes. I agree with you there.
Yes, sir.
But he should not kill himself. I mean, if I'm captured, and I'm a soldier, and I'm captured, every minute that I'm alive is a minute that I can be trying to escape.
It's also
captivity.
They'll torture you.
I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to abandon my wife and children and my country because
sir,
I'm a coward and want to stick a gun in my mouth and swallow a bullet.
That's not a coward. That takes courage. Otherwise, they'll torture you and get information.
Let them torture you to death. Keep your tongue. Hold your tongue as long as you can.
There's no way. They'll torture you.
Find a way to escape. Do not shoot yourself.
They can put red ants on your genitals. It hurts.
Well, whatever, kid. I don't want to know torture techniques.
I don't either.
You're telling both of us here that you guys train Code 9 in the military to take your own lives.
Absolutely, sir. Now, what I'm saying about Trent Lott is this. He has made a mockery of the Republican Party and our commander-in-chief. I think he would be doing a great service to his country if he swallowed a bullet.
I think he'd do a great service to his country if he resigned.
But he would
let
be...
Let him resign. Let him resign in disgrace.
Sir,
let it be known that he won't be elected to any other public office as long as he's alive, because this will hang over his head forever.
But if he killed himself, that's also the same as resigning, because he wouldn't be able to do the job anymore, too.
And he wouldn't be able to see his wife and kids,
and he wouldn't,
or apologize
he wouldn't
for
be alive.
Anything he's done.
Well, he already did apologize, so there's only one thing left to do. Take his own life. It would be way better than just look stupid the way he do now.
All well, that man has to do is resign.
He's putting our country in danger.
He resigned from that Senate. He's not putting anything in danger. He's hiding right now.
Are you?
He's going to keep hiding.
Have you ever been in the military?
No.
Well, that's the whole thing, that you don't know about Code 9.
Oh, come on, kid.
I have a father who is a colonel in the Air Force, and he's never mentioned anything about Code 9 to me.
I just talked
to him just before I called this show, and he has never mentioned anything of Code 9. He's never heard of Code 9.
Did you ask him about it?
Yes. He was a pilot. And
no
problem.
So they didn't go over to the commandant's quarters and salute him and then put cap pistols in their mouths?
No.
Well, that's a new
one. He wouldn't
one
do that. He's not that...
I've never
heard anything like that before until I heard this show tonight.
Well, here's the thing. You say that the cadets go over to the commandant's quarters, he curtsies and blows a kiss?
Yes, sir. That is a traditional salute. Yes, sir.
He curtsies and blows a kiss?
Yes, sir.
Is he pretending to be a woman at this point?
I don't know why he would do that, sir, when 30 cadets are about ready to shoot themselves.
Bid you a farewell, I guess. That's the craziest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, he's just sort of like, you know, nice trip, boys.
Yeah.
Sir, that is the ultimate send-off by a commanding officer, and if you say your brother was in the United States Air Force...
No, my father.
Ask him about the curtsy and your father. Ask him about the curtsy. It is one of the ultimate send-offs by any command. Call your dad up and say, Dad, did anybody curtsy and blow up...
Will you get out of here with that? There it is, R.C. Collins explaining Code 9. In the military, you walk to the commandant's quarters, he comes out on the balcony, curtsies, blows a kiss to you, and then you put a cap pistol in your mouth, and you pull the trigger, and that's how you practice for Code 9, blowing your brains out. Which, fortunately, Trent Lott didn't do. But also, fortunately, he did resign. So that cracker, that guy, that senator, he's not there anymore. So that's it. That's our show. Now, knowing that in some parts of the country, for instance, Los Angeles, they play our hours out of order, I want you to know... Oh, they're going to play it in order? Yeah, call Tony right now. Good. Okay, so that's the end of the show then, okay? Seriously, you wouldn't believe this. I got to deal with this whole thing in Los Angeles where they play 1 hour here and another hour there and then another hour there and another hour here. So I'm saying, goodbye, everybody, and then they still got another hour to go. So you can hear right now Craig telling him, Tony, this is about what the conversation sounds like. Yeah, Tony? Was it Tony or who?
It was somebody else.
Tony?
Uh-huh.
Listen, we have to move the hours around and,
I don't know what you mean.
What I mean is, you know how you play the first hour first?
Uh-huh.
Okay, move it to the other one and just play it in order.
Okay.
Jesus. Have a good night, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next year.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer. Thank you.